starting a new sugya today. So today we're starting some Kuf Tzadi Beis, which is the sugya of Dam Chimud. Now the sugya of Dam Chimud may not seem super duper practical, but it is. Oh, I forgot to take attendance. I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to take attendance. Only people don't like when I take attendance on the recording. Too bad. Okay, let's take attendance real quick. We'll do it quick. Chanoch Chavitsky. What? Still in Israel. Fair enough. Eitan Aryeh is here. Mayor Averson is here. Eli Ben Zaken is here. Yonatan Berner, I thought I saw it. Yes. Morty Blau. No? What are you raising? You're waiting? Okay. Thanks. TABC? Yeah, okay. Avi Bodzin is here. Yes. Ben Book. Shalom. Binyam Boards. No? Ari Brandspiegel is here. Jonathan Burak. There you are, yes. Jordan Cohn. See Jordan? Ah, there you are, yes. Ethan, yes. Josh is MTA today. Ellie Fink, hi. Matan Friedman, shalom. Noam, Noam Gershav. Jonathan Gibber, still got a soul problem, I guess. No? Shalom, shalom. Jack, there's Jack. Miss Jack smiley face. Okay, Rowie. Yeah. Hi. Okay, we got Rowie smiley face. Tyler Hogue. Hi. Zach Israeli. Hi. Mayor Jacobs. Hello. Mayor Kirzner. There you are. Izzy Clavin. I saw. There he is. Ronnie Kupchik. I saw also. There you are. Yoni Lab. I got to get used to where everyone sits against me. Yoni Leibowitz. Hello. Akiva Levy. Hi. Avram Moshe. Shalom. Tanya Matechin. There you are. Okay. Noah Norlich told me he's not going to be here. Noah Rappaport. Shalom. Dave Rubin. Hi. Elon Sachs. Yoni Sachs. Yes. Zach Schreiber. Hi. Yaakov Schreier. Hi. Simcha Shron. There you are. Raziel. Sammy. Hi. Shai. So Shai. There you are. Sally. Yes, and Matthew is on paternity. No, okay, all right, so let's get started. So we're starting the sugya of Dam Chimud. So Dam Chimud is a very practical sugya because, it's a practical sugya in its own right, in a certain sense, and then it's a practical sugya because of its ramifications in another sense. So we'll talk about how it's both elements. Meaning, in its own right, I mean the very concept that that when a woman finds out that she's going to get married and she has like set plans that she now knows when she's going to get married, that there's a chashash, that there's dam, for the most part, isn't so practical in Hilchos Nida in a typical young couple getting married. Because when a young woman gets married, typically, of course she needs Shevinikim and is going to have to go to the mikveh. She's been in Nida since she's 12. So she's a real Nida. You don't have to worry about Dam Chiba Nida. Right? So of course she's going to have to go to the mikveh anyway. She's not going because of some Inyan or Chumro or Din Tarabana. We'll have to see exactly what it is of Dam Chimud. She's going for the very fundamental reason that she's a Nida. So in that sense, the actual Dam Chimud is not always going to be relevant. However, it is relevant very often when you have an older person that's getting married, someone who's post-menopause that's getting married, or if you were to have a Uberes Atzmo getting married, a pregnant woman that's getting married. It does happen sometimes. You discover, like, after a couple, it doesn't happen that often, but sometimes, you know, a couple raised Orthodox, and you discover after they got married on their 5-month anniversary, Mazel Tov, it's a baby, and like, wow, that's a miracle baby. Not really. So sometimes you have Dam Chimud issues like that. But it also relates to other things. It relates to the minug, if you can call it that, of not seeing each other a week before the wedding. It relates to very much to scheduling the tevila prior to the wedding, and you get a lot of questions about this, especially with out-of-town weddings, and the caller's not going to be comfortable going there. She wants to go to the mikveh in her hometown, but she's got to get there because makeup starts, you know, she's got to be in hair and makeup a week before the wedding, so she needs to be ready. So you have all these kinds of issues that come up. In, we're also going to talk about chuppas nida and how to handle the arrangements for that. It also relates to whether a couple has to try to have tashmish on the first night. A lot of times in more contemporary times, this was something that certainly changed over the last probably 10 years or so, that a lot of couples when they get married say, do we even have to try the first night? Can't we just spend some time together before we try to have tashmish? So is that a requirement? Is that a good idea, a bad idea? Is it halachically problematic? So we'll have to talk about that. What happens if a woman taka becomes a nida before the birishona, which also happens all the time. And a lot of times, a couple is not yet successful in being gomer bia, and then she becomes a nida. So to what extent do we have to worry about isura yichud in those kinds of situations? So there's a lot to talk about in terms of damchimut. So the way we'll try to attack the sugya is first just to go through the simple reading of the Gemaras, and then talk a little bit about what the nature of this dam that we're being choshish for. Is this dam nida? Is it really tahar dam with a chumrah? Is it like a kesem? What exactly is the nature of this dam? And then we'll start getting into some of the discussions in the Rishonim, such as, who it applies to, when does it apply, the timing of dam chimud, what exactly does chimud mean excitement about what? About being married, about tashmish, about meeting the guy? What exactly is the, if we can try to pinpoint, is the excitement about that we're concerned is going to bring about this dam? So we'll have to talk about all of those discussions in the Rishonim. What triggers the dam chimud? What if there was a tanoim? Does that trigger the dam chimud? I'll tell you a shayla. I had right before COVID, I shouldn't say before COVID, retrospectively, right in the heart of COVID when everyone was getting COVID, right? Around that Purim, before we realized exactly what was happening. So I have a very close Talmud who was Masada Kedusha, who was getting married, was supposed to get married that Sunday night after Purim. And his father called me on Wednesday and said, I'm not letting my son get married Sunday night. I think the whole world's going to be shut down by Sunday night. We're moving the wedding up. He's getting married Thursday night. I said, that's crazy. The world's not going to shut down. He's like, alarmist. It's insane. He's like, I'm not taking any chances. Obviously, it wasn't crazy. the world shut down. But then I thought, wait a second. If they didn't know when they were going to get married, and now they have a new wedding date, so maybe there's a dam chimud issue, because now you've set the wedding date, so now we have to worry about dam chimud. So maybe think about that as we go through the sugya of dam chimud. Is that going to be a concern of dam chimud? So, and then we'll actually see what it says in Shulchan Aruch and go through the halacha as it appears in Shulchan Aruch. So let's start with the Gemara. So the Gemara is in Nida Daf Samach Vav on the bottom of the page, and the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Tavua Linasi Bin Espaisa, Sricha Shateshev Shivanaki. That if a man asks a woman to marry him, and she's in Espaisa, she agrees, she says yes, then she needs to count 7 clean days before going to the mikveh. Right? This is assuming that's the point of agreement. Nowadays, at a proposal, the point of agreement usually came before the proposal, right? Meaning what would trigger the dam chimud l'chora is, once they're already booking a hall and they know exactly when they get married, which is usually a couple of weeks before the proposal. It's a very low-risk proposal, typically. The guys in, are not going to be that person at the on the scoreboard where the girl runs away, it's a low-risk proposal, but it's whenever she's in the spice, that's when we assume that there's a certain excitement, there's a certain energy, and there's a certain chashash of dam, and therefore, between then, when she gets married, she's going to need shiva nikiyim, even if she doesn't otherwise become a nida, even if she was previously tahora, because we're concerned that the excitement about getting married caused her to bleed, and she just didn't realize it. So the Gemara goes on to tell a story that demonstrates that applies even to a katana who normally doesn't bleed, meaning a katana who's not yet at the age of becoming a nida, that she also has to worry about dam chimud, big mouth stuff. And the Gemara says that Ravina Yasakle Lebrei Beirav Chanina, that Ravina was involved, Ravina's son was getting married to Rav Chanina's daughter. So he was trying to make the wedding arrangements with Rav Chanina's daughter. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara, some changed the girsa, not to, that it wasn't Rav Chanina, it was Rav Chaviva. Rav Chaviva. Why would it be Rav Chaviva? Because if you look in the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Ches, the Gemara says that Ravina was Meshadich his son with the daughter of Rav Chaviva, and Rav Chaviva right away started saying Shasimcha B'mono from the time of the Erison, because he's very confident that the Shidduch would go through. So he started saying Shasimcha B'mono. And then the Gemara says, but the Shidduch fell apart. It didn't go through. And so it's a word of caution that you don't say Shasimcha B'mono already from the time of Erison. So the Chassam Sofer points out that from the Balamor it seems that that's the same story. That the two stories, our story and our Gemara over here, where Ravina, Yasek Lebre Ber and Chanina, where there was some sort of Dam Chimur issue, and the story over there where they had a false start on Shasimcha B'mono, sounds like also there was some planning issue where it didn't play out the way it was meant to play out, the way it was supposed to, and things were cancelled and moved, and time was... So it sounds like it's the same story. The Rashba and Taurus Abayi seems to assume that it's a different story, and Lechara, that's the issue behind the Girsa in our Gemara. So our Girsa and the Girsa of the Ravid in Sharasir Vavdika is Rabbi Chanina, which would mean it's not the same story, but the Girsa of the Rif is Rabbi Chaviva, so it would be the same story. So anyway, so the Gemara tells us, Ravina was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rabbi Chanina, or Rabbi Chaviva. So Amr Le Savile Mar Lemichtav Ksuba L'Arba Ayom, also a Girsa issue. Is it L'Arba Ayom or L'Yom Ravi'i, or something like that? Right, meaning is it that let's get a Ksuba, Rabbi Chanina said to Ravina that they should write a Ksuba in another 4 days, or was he saying we should write a ksuba on Wednesday, meaning Basulanises, Leo Maravi, so we should write a ksuba for Wednesday. So anyway, he made this proposal, summarily in, yeah, that's when we'll get it together. That's when we'll write the ksuba. Then it came that time, and he said, we got to wait another 4 days. Ravina waited another 4 days in order to before he was ready to bring his son to the chuppah. So Yaakov Shiliyomi Basar Yoma. So it turned out between the 4 day delay to write the ksuba and once they agreed to get married, they said we'll write the ksuba in 4 days, and then from then 4 more days until they actually got married. So it turned out to be a 7 day delay with 2 mitzvayim kakulas. I guess it turned out to be a 7 day delay from the beginning to the end when he actually brought him in to the chuppah. So Amalei, my high. So Chanina asked Ravina, why are you keeping on delaying? Meaning, what was the point of that? So Amalei, lo savor lomar lahad rava dam rava tovul inasim nesfaisa tzricha leishev shivinikiyim. Don't you hold of dam chimud that once a girl agrees to get married, so you have a chashash of dam chimud, and therefore she needs shivinikiyim. So if, right away we agreed on that they're going to get married. We can't bring them to the chuppah right away, so we had to delay. We had to make sure that she's able to have shivinikiyim. Amalei, emer dam rava begedola. Yeah, but that's if it's a girl who's shaykh to become a nida. But this girl is 9 years old. She's not shaykh to nida. It's not possible that she's going to see any dam nida. We ever have such a chumra of rabba in such a case? We're concerned with Dam Chimud by Ketana the same way we are by Gedola. The Chassam Sofer explains, based on Mordechai, the name of Maram, he says that if you delay the wedding, she has to wait another Shivanakim from the time that you set a new wedding date. So he says, so what's going on over here? So he says, must be the same story as in Ksubas. And they were Koveya, time for the wedding 4 days later. And when the time arrived, they backed out on the Shidduch, like it says in Ksubas. And then another 4 days passed, after which they decided to get married again. And then Ravina waited another 7 days from the second date before allowing the wedding. Rav Chaviva said, why did you wait 7 days? And he said, lo savor lomar, meaning it's obvious that the clock starts again on the 7 days when you have a new wedding date. So there was a whole tumble back and forth about, when to make the wedding. They canceled it once. Then they agreed, okay, now we came to an agreement. And then, once they came to an agreement, what the Gemara leaves unsaid, says the Chassam Sofer, was that the last delay was a 7 day delay. And that's what he was asking about. Why did you have a 7 day delay? And he said, yeah, because you need Shiva Nikiyim. So that's the Gemara. Now, that's one Gemara. The other place this appears in Shas, and it's critically relevant to a lot of the discussions we have about Dam Chimud, is the Gemara as it appears in Masechus Yuma Daf Yud Ches, where the Gemara tells us Rav Kimitla Darshish, when Rav went to a town called Darshish, Machriz Man Havya Liyoma. he would announce, you know, is if anyone's willing to be my wife for the day, you know, the day that I'm in town, and then we'll get divorced right afterwards, so I could avoid hirhurim for that day. I always want to have a wife nearby, so rent a wife for a day. I'd like someone to be my wife for a day. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman kan mikla lishchatsiv machriz man havaliyoma. Rav Nachman had a similar practice when he went to a different town, that he would make this proposal that someone should be his wife for a day. So the Gemara says, Vatanya Rav Lozman Yaakov Omele Yisod Demisha B'medina Zubi Yelch Yisi Shabedina Acheres Shem Yizdav Guzei Etzel Zeh V'nimtza Ach No Seachol. So, terrible idea. You're going to have families in two different cities. What's going to happen when people are trying to think, oh, who's right for this quirky kind of guy, you know, and the, oh, there's a quirky kind of girl. Yeah, because the father's quirky and he's in both places, and that's right. And there's going to be a brother and a sister and they're going to marry each other. It's going to be the worst thing in the world. You can have mamzerim all over the place. So the Rabbanan said, now, these were very famous people. Everyone knew who their kids were, right? They would walk around proudly and say, you know, my father is Rav, my father is Rav Nachman. You know, do you know who my father is? You know, that it wasn't shaykh that people wouldn't know, and that, you know, these kinds of cases. Meaning, when it's a nobody, then you have to worry about these things. But when it's someone of such fame and such importance, such chashivus, you don't have to worry about these things. Then the Gemara asks, "Vama Rava Tavuli Nasim in the spice of Tzvi Chaleishiv Shivin Nekiim." Aye, but what about the fact that you need Shivin Nekiim when you agree on getting married? He went for one day and he made an announcement. Someone want to marry me today. So it sounds like they got married for that day. How can you get married that day? You need Shivin Nekiim. They would send messengers 7 days in advance. They would send a scout team to whatever city. They had the travel itinerary, and they had a scout team in advance that would go out and would look for a wife for them 7 days in advance. A woman would be willing to do Shivin Nekiim, and then she'd be married to Rav Nachman for a day, or to Rav for a day. They never actually slept with these women. Just knowing that they could was good enough, and that also answers the previous question about the concern for siblings marrying. There was never any siblings because they never started families with these women. Rashi understands that they only had yichud; they just didn't have bia. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashi because even yichud should be aser. Before they had Zayin Kikim, they shouldn't be allowed to get married and have Yichud either. So Tosis asks from Rashi that it should be also L'Siachim Yam, because the halach is Kalash Apir Sanida before the Bia is also L'Siachim Yam. So over here also, this is a Kalash Apir Sanida, or it's at least a Chashash Nida of Dam Chimud before the Bia. So how can you say that they had Yichud with each other? So Tosis says, no, maybe that Isra Yichud of a couple that's already married and she became a Nida before the Bia, maybe that Isra Yichud is only for a Bachar, but not for someone who is who's been married before. Maybe his Yetzer Hara is considered to be not as strong. The Ben Yoyada asks the Kasha that, you know, well, what is going on with these rabbis, right? It has to be addressed, right, once we're learning the Gemara. Ben Yoyada asks the Kasha, he says, Chalila Lahara, I think I put it in the WhatsApp chat, the whole Ben Yoyada, right? He says, Chalila Lahara, Achri, Gedoli, Chachme Yisrael, Eila, to say that they're so willing to give in to their taivas that they can't be without a woman for one day. He says, Af hedyot shebe hedyotim yocholam b'kach. Right, it's reminiscent of Rashi and Chumash, that Afilu kal shebe kalim doesn't speak the way Yaakov Avinu speaks. So Ben Yoyada says, hedyot shebe hedyotim could go a day without having a wife. Kolshke kedoshim uprushim elushim kachim sasim mutzulem. These were kedoshe elyon. And he says, furthermore, if it's dvarim kipshutam, why weren't they choshish for their own kavod at least? It's such a bizayon that they're going around sending scout teams announcing that they're not going to survive a day without a wife. So Ben Yoyada says that it must be, and sometimes you wonder, like on a commentary like this, whether it's a contemporary social commentary or this is actually what he thinks Pshat was back then. But he says that there are some people that wait till they're 35 or 40 years old to get married. And that's a terrible idea. You shouldn't wait so long to get married. You should get married much younger. So it must be that in these towns, they had such a practice that they waited till they were 35 or 40 years old to get married. and they saw that it was such a terrible, terrible practice, so they wanted to do like the Rambam, you know, to go to the opposite extreme, and to show how important it is to be married, and it's so important that even Kadosh Elul, even people like that, even Prushim like them, had to make sure that they always had a wife. And they were willing to be mezalzel in their kavod in order to make that point. That's what Ben Yehuda said. The Get Pashut in Simon Kuf Chav raises a different question. He says, you know, the Gemara Nedarim talks about B'nei Tesha Midos. The Gemara Nedarim Daf Chav talks about children who are going to come out with bad Midos if they're born or they're conceived under certain contexts, right? In certain contexts. So one of the B'nei Tesha Midos, B'nei Nida, let's say, for example, if a woman is not observant of Taras HaMishpacha, and she conceives a child, so there's an assumption that there's going to be something wrong with the Midos of that child, right? That's the famous Shaila that Ramesha has in Midos Moshe. I remember the first time I saw it, I was on a kick to daven Vasikin every day for like 2 weeks in Meshana Aleph, and the Vasikin minyan used to take place in the library in Karabi Avna. And I wasn't such a good davener, so I was learning a lot during davening. So the first time I saw this Rav Moshe was at that point. So someone asked Rav Moshe, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me because of lack of sleep, but someone asked Rav Moshe that they found a girl, great girl, fantastic, from, wonderful. Her parents are Bali Tshuva, though. When she was conceived, they weren't from yet. So chances are, her mother wasn't observing Taras HaMishpacha at that time. So she's a bas nida, so they have to worry that she's b'nei teisha amidos, that she's that there's some sort of fundamental flaw in the girl, because of that. So Moshe said, well, the stomach of her mother wasn't a nida, so we'll have to talk about that at a later time in the year. He said, probably your mother went to the beach, and so that was a kosher tevila, and then it was... but they lived in Alaska, and it was like Moshe doesn't ask any questions. Probably she went to the beach, and there was a kashra tevila or something like that. Okay, the stipler was asked the same question, I assume from the same person, and the stipler said, "No, Adrab, she's someone you dafka want to marry because she had the deck stacked against her, and she still became such a balas midos." So if she managed to become as great as she became, despite the fact, you know, all the things that you see, despite the fact that she had the deck stacked against her, that's more reason to be interested in the shidduch. It's like we had that, you know, the paradigm shift, which is a nice way of doing. It's like the person that asked from Chaim Kanievsky whether he should marry a gioris, and he met a wonderful girl. The problem is she's a gioris. So Chaim Kanievsky said, you could fulfill the mitzvah of ahavtem es hager every day of your life if you marry a gioris, right? Paradigm shift. So the Get Pashut raises the question that one of the b'nei teisha amidos is a b'nei grusha saleh, meaning a lot of times this does happen. A couple knows that they're getting divorced, but they're still living in the same house. Why are they living in the same house if they know that they're getting divorced? There's something called abandonment in American law, that if the guy moves out of the house, then it's going to mess up his whole court case, and there's all ability to, whatever, there are all sorts of issues. So people stay in the house, make their lives and their children's lives miserable because they have no choice but to do that. It's an absolute disaster. It happens all the time. So, and sometimes you have people that have been married for several years living in the same house, and she's pregnant. They weren't thinking, you know, things gotta, and they know that they're getting divorced. So that's b'nei grusha saleh. So where they know that they're getting divorced, he plans on divorcing her. So the Get Pashut asks, I don't understand, how could Rav Nachman and Rav do this? They're going to go marry a woman, and they know that they're going to divorce her that day, because they're only marrying her, she's only kala l'chad yoma, she's only kala for one day. So he suggests five different answers. He says either they committed that if they were to become pregnant, they would stay with her. Meaning, you're only going to be my wife for one day unless you become pregnant, unless you give me reason to stay. Okay, maybe. Or that the problem of Grusha Salev is only if you don't inform her of your plans to divorce her. But if she knew that they were going to get divorced, meaning it's only a chisaron in the guy's midos if he was planning on divorcing her, but he was taking advantage of her because she didn't know that he was planning on divorcing her. But if she knows, then maybe it's not a problem. Third possibility is that the condition wasn't to divorce on a specific day. It's just that if he ever leaves the city, he's going to divorce her. But if he decides to stay in the city, then he would stay with her. The fourth is that they only married women who couldn't have kids. and the entire problem of Grush Salev is only on account of the children, it's not on account of the marriage itself. And fifth is they weren't making a deal to divorce. They were just making a deal that they were going to be Pater from She'er Ksos Va'ona, meaning they were going to stay married, and anytime they'd come back to town, they would resume the marriage. Every time they would come back, a different conception of marriage than we have, obviously, but anytime they would come back into town, they would resume the marriage. Okay, so this is the unusual case that the Gemara describes. But these are the two Gemaras, and these are the two Gemaras that we need to keep in mind as we go through the issue of Dam Chimud. Again, number one, that applies even to a Ketana, because this whole Maisa with Ravina and Rav Chaviva or Rav Chanina when they became Mechutanim. And the second, when it came to Rav or Rav Nachman going to particular cities to for a day where they recruited wives in advance when they went to those cities. Yeah, l'chor, if you're going to say like that answer, to say, I'm not she'en l'chalei she'ksuzon, is that mas al mash kuzo b'torah? Where, it's no batel. But that's a side point on a side point, so let's we're not going to go there. So there is a machlokas rishonim, what the nature of the bleeding would be. So let's get into actual dam chimud. Question? So what exactly is this dam chimud? Is this dam nida? Is it not dam nida? Is it dam from somewhere else? What exactly is it? So this is a three-way machlokas, I think. The Ran writes on daf chaf and beis dimur maschal hai that the dam chimud would be dam min ha'aliyah, which is dam tohar. The raya is that the Gemara says in Daf Chav that there were various Amoraim that were shown maros of dam, and they had such expertise. The Gemara is telling us the great expertise these Amoraim had in being able to see maros of dam, right? Like the Gemara says, they were able to tell you what the woman had for lunch that day when they looked at the dam. They had such expertise in being able to do that. And some of the Chacham would say, this is dam chimud. The implication is that if it's only dam chimud, it's tahar. Otherwise, what's the value in knowing that it's dam chimud? The concern then in our Gemara is not that she's going to see dam chimud. Dam chimud we're not worried about. It's that together with the dam chimud, there's also going to be a tipus dam nita that gets mixed in, and you're not going to know the difference. So if it's not on account of the dam chimud itself. So if you knew somehow that there was no dam nida and that it was only dam chimud, that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that you don't know that, and that you have to be concerned that there may be dam nida mixed together with the dam chimud. The Aruch HaNer just points out, then why are we concerned about a katana? Meaning our Gemara said that afilu katana, that Rava holds that you have to worry about dam chimud even by a girl who's never, is not even igiyas manaliros. She's not even old enough to have dam nida. So the whole concern of dam chimud is that there might be dam nida mixed in, but if it's a woman who's postmenopause or a woman who's pre-pubescent, who's not going to be able to see dam nida anyway, so what do you mean there might be some dam nida mixed in? The katana can see dam chimud, she's not going to have nida mixed in with it. It's a strong kasha. It's a strong kasha. Unless you assume that the dam chimud somehow stimulates dam nida, that somehow through the dam chimud, it gets her systems going to create dam nida, to generate dam nida. That's not what it sounds like from the Ran. The Ran just sounds like not that the dam chimud causes dam nida, but that if there's dam nida there anyway, you're not going to know about it because of the dam chimud. But anyway, that's one mahalik in Rishonim. The second mahalik is the Rambam. The Rambam in Yisuridia, Yerzerua, the Rashba, many, many Rishonim say, no, dam chimud is dam nida, it's dam tameh. The question then becomes, well, why do the Chacham and Daf Chaf, when they are shown all these different types of dam, why do they have to say, oh, this is dam chimud? Who cares whether it's dam chimud or dam nida? Either way, it's dam nida. Either way, it's the same halachically. Why do they have to comment that it's dam chimud? So a couple of possibilities. It could be that, just to show off their chachma, meaning sometimes people aren't so confident that the Rabbanim know what they're talking about when they're looking at the Maros. So to show that they were big Biki and Bedavar, that they could tell you the difference between Dam Chimud and Dam Nida. Pardes Rimonim says that it's, Chaps a big nafkamina for Vestos, because Dam Chimud is considered a Re'iya Machnasones. So they wanted to emphasize that there's no kvias vesas on that dam, even if it happens three times. Meaning the halacha is, you didn't learn vesas yet. So what a vesa is, for just to quickly chazer, that if a woman is on a pattern of seeing dam x amount of times, so then you're choshish that she's going to continue to follow that pattern. But if it happens, machmas onas, she sees down because of some crazy event that happened that will not repeat itself, then that doesn't that doesn't contribute to kvias veses, to setting, establishing a pattern of when she's going to see down. So if it's down nida, you got to put it on the vesa calendar to make sure that you know exactly when she's going to see down, so you can calculate. But if it was dam machmas onas, you don't have to put it on the vesa calendar. So dam chimud is an onas. So maybe that's the pshat in that gemara. The Magen Mishnah in Hilchos Yisur Bia explains that really she's tahora min atahora even if she did bleed, because there was no hargasha. Meaning dam chimud, it doesn't say anything about her feeling of psichos piyamaka, or her feeling, the zdaz of gufa, zivas tovelach, or anything like that. It's just that we're chosh, she said there's dam. So he says, even if she actually sees the dam, if there's no argasha, she's not going to be tamei, she's not going to be tamei min haTorah. Meaning, Magen Mishnah says like the Rambam, it is dam min haTorah, it's just that it follows all the same rules as dam nita min haTorah. Dam nita min haTorah is only going to be tamei min haTorah if there's argasha. So it's very similar to the gzeir of ksamim. And that explains, by the way, why the Taz assumes that the two gezeros were made at the same time. Taz tries to figure out the history. When did Rava invent Dam Chimud? The Taz tries to figure it out. We'll talk in more detail at a later date, sometime next week. The Taz tries to figure out, how is Dam Chimud not an Indian for Rus or for Tamar? Like, you have these stories in the Bible where it seems like decisions were made on the spot. And they got married and they had Bia right then and there. How is Dam Chimud not an issue for them? So the Taz tries to figure out at what stage Dam Chimud came into being. So he suggests, perhaps, that it was part of the Gzeros Ksamim, which fits very nicely with that Magen Mishnah, right? Because the Magen Mishnah says that Dam Chimud is really like a Kesem. It's real Dam. The thing is, it's really Dam Nida, but just like Dam Nida without Aragasha is only a Kesem. So this is also only a Kesem. So again, so far two Shitas. Shitas Haran, that Dam Chimud is totally Tar. The only reason we're worried about Dam Chimud is that there might be Dam Nida mixed with Dam Chimud. Then you have the Rambam, the Erzuru, and the Rashba. Then no, Dam Chimud is Dam Nida. Okay, if there's no Hargasha, the Magen Mishnah points out, so it's Dam Nida without a Hargasha, which has the same din of a Kesem. And then you have the Arzarua quotes others who say, in some Shin Mem Aleph, and the Ran and the Meiri also quote such a Deya, that it's Tar Midoraisa Vitami Midrabana, meaning somewhere in between. It's not regular Dam Nida, but it's not nothing. It's not only on a Chashash that Dam Nida came along with it. Even if you know that no Dam Nida came along with it, Midrabanan, we make it Tameh. So the whole requirement of Shiva Nikiyam is only a requirement Midrabanan. So it turns out, when assessing a case of Dam Chimud, when going through these halachos and trying to figure out, in particular cases, whether we can be Mekel or not, first thing you need to look at always, is are we dealing with a Din D'Oraisa, or are we dealing with a Din Midrabanan? So Rabbi Forst points out, when you go through all the Rishonim and all the dust settles, it turns out that there are three good reasons to assume that Dam Chimud is not Midaraisa. First of all, Dam Chimud might be Tahora, and even if it's Dam Nida, Dam Nida is only Mitame Bahargasha. And if she didn't find any Dam, there's no reason to suspect that it's there Midaraisa. There's no reason to assume that the Dam that you don't see is actually there. So if we assume that it's a tuma midrabanan, and it's nothing to do with lack of hargasha or yes hargasha, it's just a tuma midrabanan, so then l'chor it's not related to gzeres ksamim like the Taz had said. Okay, but these are the three possibilities in Rishonim, and that's why there are many, many tzadim to assume that Dam Chimud is not midoraisa, that Dam Chimud is only midrabanan. Again, most of the time Dam Chimud, there's no actual Dam to speak of. We're saying that we're choshish that there might have been Dam Chimud that she missed, and therefore she's got to be on guard to look for it. So most of the time, you have all three of these potential factors to tell me that we're not dealing with a Din Midaraisa. Good, so that's the basic background to Dam Chimud. So far what we did is we took a look at the two Gemaras, and we're trying to, develop this. So we took a look at the two Gemaras. Three basic shittas in Rishonim, what Dam Chimud even is. Now let's get into some of the more practical discussions in the Rishonim and Achronim. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what the Chimud is for. Is it Chimud for the wedding or Chimud for the Bia? Meaning, Chimud means that there's some energy or excitement that may make her systems go a little nuts, and that, you know, some blood is going to come out. So what is it? Is it that she's excited to be married, or that she's excited for the bia? So there may be multiple nafkaminas. L'chora, just by the way, even if it is about the bia, you'd have to say that it's about bia as a married couple. Because Pesachei Teshuvah Sifkat Beis says that if they were sleeping together before the wedding and she's pregnant, then there is concern for dam chimud. So what, she's excited to have bia for the 500th time with this man that she's been living with for the last 5 years and sleep with? Bia as a married couple, right? Meaning that now they'll have bia and be married together also. So, but there may be many nafkaminas, whether the chimud is a chimud bia, or the chimud is a chimud of not bia, but of just getting married. If the bia didn't happen on the wedding night, do you need to do continuous bedikos until the bia actually does happen? Right? Meaning if dam chimud is a concern that anytime there's a new date for the bia, so the chimud the bia will get stronger every time the date for the bia gets pushed off. But if dam chimud was for the wedding, so they already took care of it. Now they're married, so there's no further chashash of dam chimud going forward. To Machlokas Achrona, by the way, Lechem Simla says that you do need to do new bedikos if the bia didn't happen yet. Chavis Da says you don't need to do the new bedikos once the chuppah happened. There's no more chimud after the chuppah. So the Chavis Da's no salaf over here. So you have this, that seems to be the issue. A Vosner has a fascinating case, which, I don't know, may not be so rare in certain circles. Rav Vosner is Masupak. If you have a very naive kala, she knew that she was getting married. She knew that once you get married, you have children, because she assumed once you get married, that's when you daven to have children, and that's when Hashem puts a baby in your belly. She didn't know that there's such a thing called bia. So she took kala classes, and they told her, you have to do bedikos, and you have to do this and that. And she said, okay, you know, it's all fine. You know, she was perfectly okay with the whole process, but she was so naive, she didn't realize that there was such a thing called bia. And then the last kala class was scheduled for after her Shiva Nikim. So she already did her Shiva Nikim, and she shows up to the last kala class, and she's in for a surprise, right? She discovers that the birth of the bees, the whole thing, right? So now she's like in shock. So does she need a new Shiva Nikim? Because she had chimud for the marriage, but she didn't have chimud for the bia yet, because she didn't even know that there was such a thing as bia yet. So maybe that would be a nafkamina. In Chut Shani, Rav Nissim Krell says that she doesn't need a new Shiva Nikim because the chimud is for the wedding, not for the bia. But again, that would be a good nafkamina for that case. Darkei Tshuva, Tzivkan Beit, another possible nafkamina, talks about a woman who marries a person who's, Rachman Atzlan, is a disabled person, physically disabled, and can't have bia. So if the chimud is for the bia, maybe she doesn't need Shiva Nikim. You know, nowadays you could have a case where a person is, you know, is paralyzed or whatever, and they're able to have children because they know how to draw some of the semen out of him and be able to use modern science to be able to get her pregnant. But they're not able to have bia necessarily, even if they're able to have children. So a woman will get married to this guy, and he's not going to be able to have bia. So is there a concern for dam chimud? There's no chibas bia. There's no aspiration for bia, you know, unless she has in her mind that he's going to get cured or something like that. But that's pashas not that way. So that's also totally in this issue. Rav Vosner's masubik about a woman whose husband was missing after the Holocaust and then he came back. You know, that was a fairly common situation that everyone was presumed dead, and then it turned out that she found him 3 months later or something like that. So do you need chimud? Do you need a zayin nikiyim? Because if it was about getting married, she's already married. She doesn't need to get married again. But she never thought she was going to have bia again. But now it turns out that she's going to be able to live with her husband again. Or Rahman al-Islam, you have Lo'aleinu, a chayal who's held captive, and they don't know his fate. And then somehow he's released, or they get him out. Right? So there's no new wedding that's happening, but there's chimud for bia. So all of these cases, the Chorah is a nafkamina, and that chakira that the Achronim have. Again, none of these are common cases, but it's interesting nonetheless. Pesachei Teshuvah goes even maybe a step further, not directly related to this chakira, but if you look in Pesachei Teshuvah and Sefkat and Aleph, he quotes two different cases that are very interesting. He talks about, he quotes a Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer from the Kufri Tess, Shemestabik b'isha shenishtateis v'sofer shemenekim b'meishtusa al yidei noshim acheru shabatkua. I saw this specific children, that a woman became a shaita, and while she was a shaita, she had shivinakiyim. She was getting married as a shaita, and she had shivinakiyim. And how did she count shivinakiyim? Someone else was making sure, was wiping her, making sure that there was no dam. And then she came back to her das. So in Rav Shon Lekonsal smach nakiyim arishonim. Can you rely on that nakiyim? So this is different. This is not about chimud of bia or whatever. This is just about. Is that considered that she didn't know? If she knew, but she didn't have the capacity to process the information, meaning she knew she was going to be having bia, she knew she was going to be getting married, but she didn't have the capacity to process that information properly if she was a shota. So, no, what's the raya? The Gemara says that chimur applies to a katana, right? What if she was a katana? Is also a lot of das das. Okay, maybe a shota is different than a katana. Maybe a katana has better understanding. And the other Shaila Pischichuva discusses is Almana Achas Shedibrubali Nasili Isha Shalla Ra Sameola. They made a Shidduch, a Chasidish Shidduch. And they never met. And the wedding date was all planned, the parents met or whatever. So, obviously nowadays by most Chasidim, by all Chasidim, they do meet in advance of the wedding. But let's say this was, he lived in a different town and it wasn't Shaykh for them to meet. But they knew that it was a perfect Shidduch. They sent their invitations. And before the guy showed up, she already counted Shivinakiyim. So im yalu lo hayam im rachim yom. And then she meets him. I mean, does she have to know what she's expecting? Does it mean she knows she's getting married? She knows she's having beer, but she doesn't know to whom. She can't put a face to the person with whom she's going to be married and having beer. So that's like an added knach to the chakira that the achronim have. So again, the chakira that the achronim have, is it chimud bia or is it chimud of marriage? And we had four nafkaminas, whether it's chimud bia or chimud of marriage. If the bia didn't happen on the wedding night, does she need bedikos? If she's a very naive caller, didn't know there's such a thing called bia. If it's she's marrying a person who's not capable of bia, or if the husband went missing and then showed up. Right, but then on top of that we have, what if there, she knew that there was bia and she knew that there was going to be a marriage and a bia, but she was missing some other information. Either she was missing the das to be able to process all the information fully, or she was missing the information of who the guy is. So that those are two sfeikos, two shailas, the Pischei Tshuva discusses. Just to mention the other issue that the Rishonim discuss. Is whether Dam Chimur applies to an Almano Grusha. The Sefer Truma says that it applies to an Almano Grusha as well. And the Arzur brings a riot from Yuma Daf Yuches, that Rav Nachman was Tovel Inasi on the very same day. And the Gemara says, how could he do that? What about Dam Chimur? So why didn't the Gemara write me that Gemara, Yuma Daf Yuches, where I'm coming to town, I'm looking for a wife for a day. So the Gemara says, what about Dam Chimur? Why don't you just say he found an almana or a grusha, so you don't have to worry about dam chimud. Elamai, you do have to worry about dam chimud, so it applies to almana or grusha as well. Okay, what about your own grusha? What about machzir grusha? So does it apply in that case as well? So the Beis Yosef in Sefei adds in the name of the Rishonim that even for machzir grusha, so that you have dam chimud. However, the Chupas Radvaz writes that that's only if they've been divorced for a while. If they got divorced and then right away, so this being divorced wasn't working, they want to get remarried right away, then maybe there's no dam chimud. Exactly where to make that get there is not so clear. He has a case where the guy was nishpa legarish shishto. He took a shvua to be megarish shishto, and he kept on telling her, "I love you so much. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to, but I have to fulfill my shvua." So, don't worry, we'll get remarried again, I'll get you a new ring or something, right? So she knew the whole time that they were going to get divorced and then that they wouldn't get remarried. So, do you need a new Shivanakiyan? So you have all these funny cases of exactly what creates, what generates the chimun. The bottom line is, something, excitement for something generates the chimun, and because of that, it requires Shivanakiyan. So the next thing we're going to have to discuss is, what does that Shivanakiyan look like? And when does that agreement have to be made? What if it happened before the Kiddushin, after the Kiddushin, before Tanaim, after the Tanaim? and she need have siftarin, shivinakim, bedikos, all that stuff. So Melech Shalom will pick up with all of that on Sunday. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Welcome back.